So as we've been reading through the poets, we've had a lot of different things going on. This week we started looking at Proverbs as we're reading through the poets. And so we could just grab a proverb or two proverbs and kind of look at them. And actually sometime in the future, I believe that's what we're going to do, is as a church we'll go through the book of Proverbs together. I just really believe that that's something the Lord's put on my heart. So many different ways to look at it, but what we're going to do is today is I just want to kind of cover the whole concept or the premise of Proverbs. What are Proverbs? How do they work? What are they about? Where do Proverbs come from? Well, for the most part, the book of Proverbs comes from Solomon, who was the first, who was the king of Israel. Not the first king of Israel, but he was the king of Israel. And we know as we read there are several other writers that are involved there, but they really come from the wisdom of these young men. As a matter of fact, Solomon was wise enough that when the prophet asked him what he wanted of God, that he said that he wanted above all things, he wanted wisdom to be able to rule the nation of Israel. First Kings, we get God's answer to that. First Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 29, God gave Solomon very great wisdom and understanding and knowledge as vast as the sands of the seashore. Now, we think about a king who's asking for wisdom and just not really sure what that looks like. But listen to the kind of wisdom that God gave him. And understand that, according to the book of James, any of us who lacks wisdom, Scripture says God will give it to us. In fact, his wisdom exceeded all of the wise men of the East and the wise men of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite, and sons of Mahol and Heman, Chalcol and Darda. He's probably wise enough to be able to pronounce those right. His fame spread throughout the surrounding nations. He composed some 3,000 proverbs, and he wrote 1,005 songs. He could speak with authority. Look at this. He could speak with authority about all kinds of plants, from the great cedars of Lebanon to the tiny hyssop that grows from the cracks in the wall. He could speak about animals, birds, small creatures, and fish. And the kings from every nation sent their ambassadors just to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. Have you ever lacked wisdom? You ever come up against a situation and you go, God, I just don't know how to do this. When I was working, when I used to own my own business, I had an auto glass company. And one particular job I did was on a Dodge Challenger. I think it was a 68 or 69. They only made them for 1 or 2 years. And the windows on it was a convertible. And the windows, when they rolled them up, there were stops down inside the doors. This car was completely trashed, and the guy was completely rebuilding it. And this was a while before the internet. I went to take this window apart, and as I reached down inside of the car, all the other glass was broken out. As I reached down inside to take this one remaining window apart, I bumped it. I hit it. It exploded in my hands. The whole thing just fell right apart in my hands. So there I had all the parts in my hand. And I thought, well, I got a month or so to figure out how to put this back together because the guy's doing the body work. So he's doing the body work on it, and he gets the whole engine, transmission, rear end all completely rebuilt. And he gets the body put back on the car, and now it's primered, it's about ready to go, and we get a storm. And that storm floods this guy's garage clear up to the dash in his car. And he had been working on this car at that point for about a year, so it had been about a year since I had seen this car. And he calls me up and he said, and I had been looking for glass. I needed 2, 4, 6, all 6 pieces of glass for it. I had been looking all over the country for glass, and I finally got all 6 pieces of glass. And he said, send them back. I'm done. I just can't bring myself to do this again. So I sent all the glass back, thinking to myself, I dodged a bullet. Now I don't have to figure this out. 3 months later, he calls me. He's like, I can't take it. I'm going to do the car again. Get the glass coming. So here we are, 2 years since I had seen this car. And he calls me up. The car now is painted just amazing yellow, and the top is black, and it's just fantastic, and it's Friday, and he's got to have all the glass done and the car ready to go by Saturday because his daughter's going to use it for her wedding. That's what they're going to drive away in, is this car. And I have to get all the glass in it. And in the process of that car flooding, all of the nuts and bolts that I had labeled sitting in particular cans got tipped over, and so now he picked them all up, scooped up all the nuts and bolts from all six windows, and deposited them in one can. I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. He's like, oh, you got this. You got this. I know you got this. And I had looked at it on Thursday. Friday was when I was supposed to go out and do it. And I went to bed that night praying, God, I just need your help. I need to get his car together. I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. And I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I knew exactly how to put it together. I can't tell you how I knew it. I didn't know it. It was nothing but the grace of God. I got up 3:30. I get up, and I'm sitting at my kitchen table sketching plans on how to put this stupid car together when I hadn't even seen the parts in 2 years. And when I did see it, they all fell apart in my hand. I'd never actually seen this thing properly put together. I have a cousin who's a Mopar freak, and I asked him how to put them together, and he's like, good luck, man. That's all I can tell you. Good luck. But I went there, and God gave me the absolute wisdom to sort out nuts and bolts. Just sat there, and I said, oh, that's got to be for the back window. That's got to be for the back. That's got to be the front. That's got to be the windshield. That's sorted them all out. I can tell you it's nothing short of a miracle. Solomon's wisdom, we think that it pertains just to the 31 Proverbs, and the reality is it pertained to everything. He had wisdom regarding trees and fish and birds and plants. He had wisdom regarding all of it. I bet you he even had wisdom regarding Mopars, if he'd have needed it. He had wisdom how to deal with people. You know, we think about, if you're a sports fan at all, you think about how different regions of the world seem to produce some of the best athletes, like Germany and Austria. They're known for their winter sports, their bobsledding and their skiing. Africa is known for its long-distance runners. If you plan to run a marathon in the Olympics, you better plan on running against somebody from Kenya. Now, that's not racist, that's not bigoted, it's just the reality. And in this day, the Near East was known for their wisdom, and Solomon lapped them all. You think of, well, what is Solomon's greatest legacy, his greatest contribution to God's people? Well, first of all, he brought unparalleled prosperity to Israel, and he built the temple of God. But his greatest contribution, the thing that's most noteworthy to us, the great legacy to the church today, is the book of Proverbs. And wisdom is different than knowledge. Wisdom is about how we apply knowledge. We can know all kinds of things and yet not know how to use what we know. I used to have a teacher who said, I don't understand all I know about it. He knew how something worked, but he couldn't quite wrap his brain about how it worked. Wisdom is not so much about a high IQ or how much education you have. It isn't about information just for the sake of information. Wisdom is about discerning what's noble, what's constructive, what's God-honoring. What is the course of action that I need to take in real life and then doing it? That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is actually the application of knowledge. You can have all the knowledge in the world. You can actually know exactly how to do something in a situation, but if you don't do it, then it isn't any good, right? That's not wisdom at all. A fool, on the other hand, the Bible describes a fool. It's not primarily an ignorant person. It's not someone with a low IQ. Instead, we see that a fool or folly in the Old Testament is more a problem of a person's will. It's what's going on in their heart. It's not so much about their mind. At the heart, folly is foolishness or it's rebellion against God. It's moral depravity. It's spiritual blindness. It's an irresponsibility towards others. That's what we're talking about when the Bible talks about foolishness. It's the lack of knowing how to actually apply something. You might know the truth, but if you don't apply it. And so I believe that Proverbs really is an absolute necessity for the church today because we live in a world that's filled with folly, right? Hang on. We live in a world with a whole bunch of really smart, educated people, a lot of college brains out there, but they don't want to serve God. They don't want to discern how to use that knowledge. We live in a world that's filled with folly or foolishness. Is that right? I believe the people of God truly need to get a hold of what is this wisdom that we see in Scripture. How do we grab a hold of it? If you will, I believe that what Proverbs gives us is this great, it's a great book of common sense. And to quote a good friend of mine, Pastor, common sense ain't very common anymore. We need common sense. We need to crack open the book of Proverbs. We need to start reading it. We need to start memorizing it. We need to start getting a hold of what it has to say, because it will carry you through life. It actually, if you look at the Proverbs, a pastor friend of mine used to say that Proverbs is about how life works best. That's what Proverbs is really about. It's how life works best. But I believe we need to read and we need to understand Proverbs. And if we do that, if we can actually agree that it's just a little bit of a unique book, we got to figure out, okay, how do we actually apply it? Proverbs are deliberately written to be catchy and often visual. Listen to this one, Proverbs chapter 11. Think, just get this picture in your mind. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Get the picture. Beautiful gold. You got a gold ring, all kinds of value. Stick that in a pig's nose. That's what a beautiful woman without discretion is. You can almost hear Solomon from the sidelines going, "Hey, hang on. Don't just hook up with her because she's hot. She ain't very bright. She doesn't have any discretion. Don't go there. Don't be a fool." Just because she's physically attractive, don't go there. And it carries on. Anybody who values looks over integrity themselves, anybody who values looks over integrity, anybody who values, this isn't just about the girl not having integrity, but what about the guy who doesn't have integrity? He's not exactly the brightest bulb in the chandelier either, right? That's from my book of Proverbs. That's not Solomon. Let's look at the first seven verses of Proverbs. And as we do, I want you to please begin to notice some who's and why's. Who's and why's. Because, see, the problem is we read through these scriptures so fast we don't even think about what they're saying. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. That's the who. Their purpose, the purpose of these Proverbs, is to teach people wisdom and discipline. That's the why. To help them understand the insights of the why. Their purpose is to teach people, that's who, teach people, why, to live a disciplined and successful life. To help them do what's right and just and fair. It's not just to teach them, but it's to teach them to do what's right and what's just and what's fair. These Proverbs will give insight to the simple, that's the who. Knowledge and discernment to the young. That's why they're there, is to give knowledge and discernment. Let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. You know, the opposite of that is true as well. If you're a fool and you won't listen to the Proverbs, you're going to become even more foolish, right? Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring meaning in these Proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. And then he says this, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. King James says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning of true wisdom in our life. Recognizing first that God is God and that I am not. That's the beginning. Until then, pretty much what we do is a life of foolishness or folly. Amen. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you recognize exactly how much foolishness you lived in previous to a life? You don't have to, but see, some people just can't stop. It's me. Take both of them. Can I put my feet in the air too? Sure. We live life like fools. Why? Because all we're trying to do is please somebody who's around us. We haven't recognized the fear of the Lord. We haven't recognized that God is God. Now it's all about how do I make myself look good to all these other people around me who really don't care about me? whom once I'm past my teenage years will probably have nothing to do with me. Right? So there is some specificity. Remember I said Proverbs are written to be catchy so that we would remember them. Webster's defines a proverb as a popular enneagram or a maxim, an adage. A good proverb has to be brief and it has to be witty, but it needs to have deep insight into human nature and get expressed in a few unforgettable words. So you can't get them out of your brain. Every culture produces people who write like this. In our day, we have adages like, a step in time saves nine. How many have heard that? A step in time saves nine. How many of you know what that means? You do the step rightly in order, and it'll save nine steps later on. Do it right the first time. One of my dad's favorites, he uses this a lot. It's not necessarily scriptural. He used to say often, it's one thing to keep your mouth shut and appear a fool. It's entirely another to open your mouth and take away all doubt. That actually is scriptural. We'll see it. Here's one. These are some from country songs. How can I miss you if you won't go away? I've got you on my conscience, but at least you're off my back. Since the phone still ain't ringing, I assume it still ain't you. Okay, so that's what Proverbs are, quick and they're witty and they're short and sweet. And we need to make sure that we get the right Proverbs in our head. Remember when we said we read scripture, we need to understand the different writers, where they come from, the different types of literature as well. Several different distinct types of literature. There's prophetic literature. We read through the book of Revelation a couple of years ago. That's all prophetic. There's historic literature, Genesis through Leviticus. There are the laws that we get all through the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And those laws, they're things you must obey. They're promises, they're guarantees, and then there are proverbs. They're these catchy little phrases that are just generally true. Let me give you some examples. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Is that a suggestion? No, that's a law. Do that. That's what you need to do. That's what you and I need to practice. Love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Is that ever going to go away? Does that ever change? That's a law. That's something you just grab a hold of. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 37. Knowing all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, this is what Paul wrote to the church, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither present or future or any power, neither height nor depth or anything in all of creation, anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that a proverb? No, it's not a proverb. That's a promise. There's a promise that says, I don't care what you go through. I don't care what struggle you have. I don't care whether it's angels or demons or heights or depths or death or life. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. You say, well, what if I walk away from God? Still doesn't separate you from his love. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for you to get clean. That's a truth. That is a promise. Now we have Proverbs. Proverbs are different. Proverbs are not like that. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4, lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. Is this absolute? No, but it's kind of how life works best. Sometimes, you know it, I know it, sometimes lazy people hit the lottery. Sometimes they get an inheritance. Sometimes they stumble on a great opportunity. For whatever reason, there are times when poor workers don't seem to make any money at all. Any number of things play into this. Another proverb says, a fool and his money are easily parted. My question is, where'd the fool get his money in the first place? Things like that, those are proverbs. Proverbs are not, it has to be exactly this way. If we can understand that Proverbs are a unique form of writing, then we need to figure out, how do we get the most out of them? Well, first of all, in order to get the most out of a proverb, you need to read it slow and you need to reflect on it. What is the author saying? Some proverbs don't seem to make sense right away because our culture is different. Proverbs 24:27. Do your planting and prepare your fields before you build a house. Like, well, what if I don't have a field? What if I'm not planting? What does this really mean? If you read through it so quickly, you go, well, so if the old man doesn't have his field planned out, or if he hasn't mowed the grass, does it mean he has to sleep in a tent? I mean, what does it really mean? Look, this was written to an agrarian culture. It was written to people who were farmers. Outdoor work here is farming. It was income producing. That's what their farming was. It was a primary way of making a living. So farming built income. Building a house took income away. Building a house was draining. Some things haven't changed yet lately. I mean, that's still the same. But what this proverb is basically saying is, get a job before you get a jag. Don't waste your money. Get a job first. You can't go out and buy cars and snowmobiles and jet skis and four-wheelers and houses if you don't have a job. Get a job first. The second thing is, we have to handle proverbs with care. Listen to what this proverb says in Proverbs 26:9. A proverb in the mouth of a fool is like a thorny branch brandished by a drunk. What does that look like? Think about a drunk guy who's got a thorn bush. We've got some thorns in back. I almost thought about getting them out, but I can't. They poked their way through leather gloves. One of the guys from church brought me back some thorn bushes from California. The branches are about this long. The spikes on them are about 2 inches long. They're so sharp that they will go right through my leather glove. And what's inside of that is oranges are what grow inside of that bush. But now you give that branch to a drunk. Say you clean off the bottom of the thing so he's actually got a handle on it. What's that like? It causes destruction, right? Well, the writer of Proverbs is saying the same thing. If you put a Proverbs in the mouth of a fool, it's like a thorny branch in a drunk's hand. What happens if you give this guy this? An unstable person grabs hold of this bush. It's going to hurt him, and it's going to hurt everybody around him. Proverbs 26:7 says, a proverb in the mouth of a fool is as useless as a paralyzed leg. Again, Scripture really paints a picture there. Proverbs 22:6, many of you have heard this. Listen to this one. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Well, this is a piece of wisdom that says, if you do this, quite likely this is what will happen. This is not a promise, okay? This is not a promise. Hate to break that to you. There's some of you sitting out there and say, I raised up my child in a way he should go so that he will not turn from God when he's old. This is not a promise. That's not what it is. It's in a proverb. It's a poetic book. So what the author here is saying is, if you do this, we go right back to Adam and Eve, right? Think about Adam and Eve. Who is their father? God. Do you think he trained them up in his nurture and his admonition? No, you don't think God trained up Adam and Eve? I think he trained them up exactly the way they should go, right? He walked with them. He talked with them. And yet, what did they do? They rebelled. It's the heart of foolishness. God was the perfect father, and yet they chose something else. Benjamin Franklin said, nothing is foolproof in the hands of a fool. The book of Proverbs invites us to take care and to use discernment. Here's the deal. Here's why I bring that proverb up. Train up a child in a way he should go. Here's why I bring that up. You have no idea the number of people who have a kid that goes astray, and all of a sudden the church jumps on them and says, well, you must have been a bad parent. You must have done something wrong. There must be something that nobody saw. There must be something deep, dark. There's some dark secret in there that you're not telling us. No, guess what? A fool's a fool. Sometimes they do foolish things. I've done plenty of them. I've paid the price. I got shoulders that are and back. I have all kinds of scars to prove that I do a pretty good job of being a fool. We just do that stuff. That wasn't my parents' fault. My dad did encourage some of it, but not most of it. Some of it I did on my own. Third thing is, so not only do we need to take care when we use Proverbs, but we also need to adopt a proverb. Grab a hold of a proverb and let it do some work in your life. You say, well, Pastor, what kind of work does a proverb What kind of area does it touch? I'm going to give you six areas. There are many areas where Proverbs can work in our life. But here's one just with our words. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19 says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Well, that's kind of short and witty. Sometimes we just talk too much and it gets us in trouble. Well, how? Well, I remember as a teenager, me and my buddy rowing our boat around the lake that his brother had a cabin on. And as we're rowing, the neighbor kid just got a brand new inflatable boat. His dad was rich and he had all kinds of money. So I looked at him and I said, you know what we should do? We should steal that boat tonight. And he's like, no, we shouldn't do that. And I'm like, yeah, we should steal that boat tonight. And I kept talking and I kept talking and I kept talking. And guess what we did? We stole that boat that night. And the next day, his dad has come cruising around the lake. Hey, did you guys see a... Oh, no, we haven't seen anything. And then you just keep digging yourself a deeper hole, right? Yeah. Stop talking. Shut up. It's going to lead to trouble. Sometimes we just got to keep our mouth shut. That goes back to my dad's adage, right? It's one thing to keep your mouth shut and appear a fool. It's another thing to open your mouth and take away all doubt. I did that. Proverbs 18:6, this was one I used with my nephew a lot, said the lips of a fool invite a beating. Sometimes you just got to keep our mouth shut. That's wisdom. In other words, God says, I gave you two ears and one mouth. Use them proportionately. Let that sink in. Two ears, you should listen at least twice as much as you talk. Maybe more. But at least twice as much, says the preacher on a Sunday morning in the middle of a 40-minute rant. Sorry. So one of the areas is he talks about our mouth. Another area that the Proverbs talk about is laziness. Proverbs 19:15. Lazy people sleep soundly, but idleness leaves them hungry. To quote a former pastor of mine, no worky, no eaty. Proverbs 19:24. Lazy people take food in their hand, but don't even lift it to their mouth. Here's a picture of a guy who's got a handful of nachos, but he's too lazy. He lacks the ambition to pick up that handful of nachos and put it in his mouth. A girl I dated one time in high school, her dad had a wood stove. That's what he heated the house with. And it was January, and it was 40 below, and her brother was laying on the couch. The wood stove is from me to the drums away. And the pile of wood is from the drums to the piano away. And he laid on the couch for about 6 hours while that wood went out, covered up under a blanket. His dad came home and was through the roof. Just, what is the matter with you? That's the picture of laziness, right? A fool puts his hand, the guy laying on the couch, actually that day helped haul the wood in. He got his hand in the nacho jar right here. I hauled the wood in, but I wouldn't get off my dead butt and onto my dying feet to put some wood in the wood stove. That's a lazy man. That's a fool. I'd rather freeze than get up and go 10 feet to fill a wood stove. Oh, Pastor, who'd do that? Lots of people do that in lots of different ways. Now, I better move on. Endurance. Proverbs talks about endurance. Proverbs chapter 10. We sang about it this morning. When the storms of life come, the wicked are whirled away, but the godly have a lasting foundation. You got some struggles in your life? Commit this one to memory. Because that scripture doesn't say, maybe storms are coming. If storms come, you might have a storm come. This one says, when the storms of life come. Anybody been hit by a storm in the last 6 months? I know a lot of you have been hit by storms in the last 6 months. A lot of you have faced a lot of problems. Guess what? The Bible says the wicked are going to be blown away. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean, Pastor, there's a storm that's coming? No, it's a proverb. It's not a promise, it's a proverb. But you hang on, you anchor your feet in Christ. You got hope because you're standing on a rock. You don't have, your life's not going to be thrown into absolute chaos because you're hanging on to all the things that are involved in the storm. Somebody said when COVID was going around, well, we're all in the same boat. No, that's different. That's wrong. We were all in the same storm, but some of us were in different boats. There are boats of wisdom, there's boats of fear, right? We were not in the same boat. There is endurance that we need. You and I need to understand that this, if you're going through a problem, if you're going through difficulties, we need to get this word of hope put in our mind for desperate situations. There is a word for us here. That storm's going to pass by and you're still going to be standing. Here's Proverbs chapter 12 is on discipline. Get this. This is so counterculture, it's unbelievable. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. To learn, if you're going to learn, you must love discipline. Amen. It is stupid to hate correction. Can you use that word in church? Just did. Do it again. It is stupid to hate correction. Our world doesn't like that. Our world does not like that. Well, you can't say something bad. You can't tell them no. You can't. Sometimes we need correction. Amen. Because if we don't get correction, we do stupid things. And if we don't correct our children when they're young, they're foolish things. They're stupid things. They're kind of silly, and it's not really a big problem. But when they get bigger, then their stupid things get to be a real problem, right? Then who has to step in? Teachers, principals, law enforcement, a judge? Where's that going to stop? There are times in our life when we just need somebody to give us the unvarnished truth. We need to hear that from people we love. Here's the reality. Can I be this bold? Here's the reality. You might need to be that bold with somebody that you know. You might need to say, listen, I just got to tell you something. What you're doing in your life is really stupid. I love you, but I love you too much to let you to not at least tell you. You're like, oh, Pastor, I could never say that. Well, what happens if we don't? What happens if we don't? We need to speak that kind of truth. Well, Pastor, I gotta love. Yeah, you gotta love, but you gotta love with truth. Proverbs are a great tool for this. We need to receive correction from others as well as from God. Here's another thing that Proverbs deals with. It deals with our heart. Proverbs chapter 27 says, "An open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than kisses from an enemy." What's your heart going to do with that? What if somebody comes to you and says, what you're doing is really wrong, and I know you don't like it, but you really need to stop this. What are we going to do with that? Well, in our culture, what we'll do is we'll just cancel that person, right? Sorry, you don't have the right to speak into my life anymore. I'm not going to listen to you. We have that foolishness going on in the world around us 24/7, 365. There's no end to that kind of foolishness. I don't want you. You can't say that to me because that's going to hurt my feelings. I'm just that guy that goes, sorry, here it comes. Duck. Get a hard hat. Put on some good shoes. We got to be honest with people, right? This last proverb, it goes with this mentality that people just want to shut us out. In Numbers chapter 22, it goes right along with this proverb. Numbers chapter 22, there's a prophet by the name of Balaam. And God has a plan for Balaam. And Balaam's like, I'm not going to do that. And so God sends people to stop him, and he won't stop. And finally, his donkey, he's riding through the streets on his donkey, and the donkey is going along, and it's been a good donkey. All these years, he's been a good donkey. But now, all of a sudden, the donkey pins him up against the wall in the city. And the donkey's not going to go forward. And you go, like, you believe that? You old brother, I believe that. I've had a lot of donkeys speak into my life. At least I thought they were donkeys before they did. Turns out I was the... Anyhow, this guy gets off and he beats the donkey. You've been a good donkey all these years. What are you doing? And the donkey turns around and talks to him. I'm waiting for the day. I'm just waiting for the day. I don't want to be that foolish that that's what it takes. Here's the deal. If your heart's open, if your heart's open, if you will submit to God, if you will be listening to him, you have no idea some of the surprising people that can speak into your life. People that aren't even walking with the Lord. Kids, little kids, little kids say things that should, like, where'd you get that? Grandparents, old people, young people. God will use anybody if we're willing to receive, but you have to be mature enough to receive some criticism, right? Otherwise, we just get our feelings hurt. You can't talk to me like that. That's not fair. It's not about being fair. It might be about saving your life. In this case, the prophet did not see the angel of the Lord standing here with a flaming sword. It was the donkey who pinned him up against the wall who saw the angel and said, if you don't listen to me, that angel's going to separate your head from your body. It's up to you. Do what you want to do. Folks, we need that kind of wisdom in our life. We need to grow up as a people. We need to mature as a people. We need to be able to hear from people who are not necessarily just our boss, who are not just thinking exactly like we're thinking. We ought to have hearts that are open. It's better to have somebody smack you in the face with a truth that's going to save your life than to have them pat you on the back and let you go to hell. Right? Right? These are just five areas that Proverbs speak into our life. Proverbs speak into every arena of our life. There's one more area that I want to look at in Proverbs that seems to be can be a little confusing. Some Proverbs almost seem like they contradict each other. Well, remember, Proverbs aren't laws. They're not absolutes. So they shouldn't really bother us. But they're witty sayings to help us get through life. This is the way life works best. Here's a few modern-day proverbs that kind of seem to contradict each other. Look before you leap. That's a good one. Look before you leap. There's another one that says, he who hesitates is lost. Seems like it contradicts each other. Opposites attract. You've heard that? What about birds of a feather flock together? They seem like they contradict each other. Many hands make the work light. You've heard that? What about too many cooks spoil the soup? Yep. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Out of sight, out of mind. That one, absence makes the heart grow fonder? That's not true. No. If it was, there'd be a whole lot of people really fond of church. Keep your eye on the ball. But a watched pot never boils. Why does that seem so contradictory? Every proverb addresses just a limited slice of life. Proverbs are written to help you and I avoid folly. The Proverbs we need to focus on depends on the weakness that we're dealing with, the areas of struggle that we have in our life. I'm going to close with this challenge for you. 31 Proverbs. There are 31 days in the month at most. Along with all of your other readings, I'm going to challenge you and I'm going to challenge all of us because I don't do this yet either. I've done it on occasion. But I'm going to challenge us to start reading a proverb a day. You say, well, what if I forget where I'm at? Look at a calendar. Because if it's the 26th, you just go to Proverbs 26. And if it's the second, you could just go at the second, and then you can read the third, and then you can read the fourth, and then you can. But I would challenge you to read a proverb a day. You say, well, okay, so if I do that for the month of February, I'll get through 28, and then I'm good. Yeah, and then you need to do it in March, too. And then you need to do it in April. And then you need to do it in May. Because they are alive and they will speak to you. And you'll begin to get them in your heart. And all of a sudden you're going to find Israel was great for this type of stuff. I don't know if you know this or not, but parents back in the Old Testament days, parents would actually take, and when they read the scriptures to their children, they would take a dab of honey and they would put a dab of honey on their children's lip. That's funny. Is that to keep their mouths stuck together? No, it's so that they knew that the Word of God was sweet. They knew that the Word of God was pleasant. They knew that there was something rich there. We need to get that. Probably the wisest man I ever knew. The guy knew more about metallurgy and about repairing stuff than anybody I knew. And that was his practice, had been his practice for 50 years. He knew the Proverbs inside, outside, upside down, and it never failed. He'd come to me and go, you know, I learned something new in Proverbs yesterday, and I'm thinking, good night, Hubert. You've been reading these things for 50 years. How can you learn something new? I learned something new in Proverbs the other day. I'm going to challenge you with that. And as we close today, I just want you to understand, we live in a world that's filled with folly. I hate to say it, but I'm going to. The Bible says that we're supposed to pray for our leaders and those who are in authority above us. Our government system is filled with all kinds of smart people. They're just kind of foolish. We have leaders around us all the time that are smart, but they're foolish. They don't have God's truth in them. We need to pray for those leaders. Scripture says we need to pray for our leaders that we live in a peaceful land. Scripture also says that God turns the hearts of kings where he wants it to go. Like directing a river. He turns their hearts. We need to be praying for people, especially people that we think are foolish. I can't believe you're doing such dumb stuff. Because here's the deal. We end up being governed by a lot of those dumb rules, those foolish rules. They get applied to us. I can tell you of situations that have happened just this week where people in this congregation have had to submit to what I believe are like foolish rules, but it's the law of the land. They have to do this. It's just crazy stuff. We need to be praying for God's wisdom all the time. And here's the thing. If you've not accepted Christ into your life, like today is the day. Receive him in and ask him to give you that wisdom. Jesus' half-brother James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives liberally. And he doesn't hold anything back. You need wisdom, he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. I believe he'll give it to you sometimes just to prove himself. Just to prove to you who he is. Ask God for wisdom. Ask him to change your life. Ask him for direction. He's not afraid of any of your problems. He's not. Now, it's a fool is the man who hears from God and decides he's going to go the other way. But a wise man would ask and then begin to move that direction. Let's close in prayer. God, I just thank you for each person here, each person who's listening online. I pray, Lord, that we would take seriously your word. That we would begin to look at your word, true disciples, true followers. More growth happens in the lives of disciples as they read your word than any other way. They can watch movies, they can do Bible studies, but when we read your word, and I believe Proverbs, God, is filled with wisdom for us to grow up, to become wise, to be mature as believers. We can be like Solomon. We can be speaking truth out of our mouth that we don't even understand ourselves. Where did that come from? I'm not sure. God just gave me that wisdom. He revealed that to me. That comes out of your word, God. That's what Proverbs is all about. They're sayings, they're witty sayings that help direct and guide our life. God, I just pray that you would move in our hearts, convict us to get that word in us. Even if we don't understand it, or that we would just get that word in us. Help us to move in that direction. We pray for your wisdom. We ask you, Father, to just bless each person here and bless this week. We thank you for your goodness towards us. In Jesus' name, amen.